Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. I will get to your text at some point in this broadcast, I promise. So we always appreciate the feedback. Coming up in about a half hour, State Representative Chris Blackshear will make time for us. So you want to stick around for that. We'll talk high school athletics. That's on the docket. But joining us now, been waiting patiently, and we're always glad to have him. He's been a guest on the show a few times before, but State Senator Clyde Chambliss from Prattville, Watauga County, joins us. Senator, how are you?
I'm well, Jeff. I appreciate you having me today. It's been a little while.
It has. So how's the district?
Things are good. Things are good. Things are moving in a positive direction, and we're looking forward to getting through the session. We've made a lot of progress already. Looking forward to getting out and getting back home in our districts.
Yeah, it's the hurdles, I guess. There's a couple of bills that might draw a little interest, but it's budgets right now, right?
Yeah, budgets are always the big issue. And, you know, right now we're still okay on budgets. As you all know, I probably talked about last time, is we went through this sugar high.
Right.
And we're coming down off of that sugar high. Fortunately, it has lingered a little bit longer than I thought it was going to. I thought it was going to be a sharp drop off, but due to the deposits that we have, interest rates staying up a little bit, things are okay budget-wise. I think next year they're going to be pretty rough.
When you say rough, because you'll have a new governor, we've been trending in this bigger budget direction, general fund and ETF, for how long now, you know, for
a good while,
yeah,
decade or so.
Yeah, which is, that's not normal, typical with Alabama. Now,
not on the general fund side, for sure.
Because Republicans haven't run the legislature since, what, 2010, but, this is, it's kind of this concert of, like, more responsible budgeting than what you had pre 2010. And then now in this, good economy, federal money, being pumped into the state at one time or another, and just internet sales tax or whatever on the general fund side, but things have been going up, right?
All that together has made a good situation for us. What we have been very, very adamant about is that we don't use these one-time monies that we know are going away to increase the size of government and to start reoccurring expenses when we know the money's going away. So I won't say that we've done 100% of that, but that's been our goal, and we're right up there in doing that. So things shouldn't be so bad. What is really going to hurt us is the interest on deposits. That's become a big portion of the general fund. That's going away. As the money is being spent, the ARPA money, all that's going away by the end of the year.
It's not in the bank anymore, accruing interest.
Yeah. I don't know the exact number we have now, but by the end of the year, it's supposed to be zero. So it doesn't really matter what the interest rate is at the end of the year. That money's gone. So that will be the big hit. Just the economy, some things going on with that. Our numbers are flattening. So anyway, we're trying to prepare for that. We've not had proration since 2011.
Well, yeah, there's no reason to think that's
a miracle in Alabama. But we're going to try to make sure that don't happen in the coming years.
That's what I was going to say. You have these rainy day funds, and they're full. There's no reason to think we're in the short term.
Well, I would say we're better off on the education side. On the general fund side, we do have a reserve for the first time in the history of the state of Alabama. We do have $150 million in it. We do have triggers on that you can't just take that money out. You have to make some decisions, hard decisions, to take the money out. But to put this in perspective, in 2014, we had a $250 million hole in the general fund. That would equate to a $500 or $600 million number today.
Right.
We have $150 million in the reserve. So we're still not where I would like us to be, but we're way better off than we've ever been.
Well, I hate to ask this, but is this gonna create a discussion for gambling in 2027? Like, is this all of a sudden the budgets are growing like we would like, and we're gonna look for other revenue sources, and the one everybody's always talking about is that one. Is that?
I would love to tell you no, but I wouldn't be honest if I said
it's
that.
It's coming, isn't it?
It's coming. That's going to be the push. But from my perspective, we have gambling in a lot of areas of the state. It's unregulated. We need to deal with it. However, gambling money is like one of the worst ways to fund government. So if we get to that point, I'll be looking at key things like let's put all this money into an account. And we'll spend it the year after we collect it instead of projecting what we're going to, like we do with every other. But let's do this a year in arrears.
Because we're going to see it probably do well.
It will initially.
And then
it'll level out and then it'll taper.
That's what will happen. And you won't be able to make projections based on the initial returns on that, right?
Well, the thought is, we have gambling now. We solved every problem in the state. That is not
going to be. It doesn't raise that much revenue, right?
It doesn't. It is significant money.
But relative to the overall budgets, what, $3 million general fund, $9 billion, $3 billion, $9 billion education trust fund, we're talking a few, several hundred million?
$300 million.
Yeah. Which is... not as much money as you would think.
We typically have growth in that range. We've had growth more than that recently. So, you're not talking about doubling the budgets or anything. It would be an increase. It's an unsteady increase. I'm very concerned about jumping off into that, but there'll be a lot of talk.
Grow the state's tax receipts, if that's your thing, it's by growing the economy.
Growing the base.
Growing the economy. It's bringing in more people and having more jobs and more people working.
Yeah.
It's not casinos in Birmingham or wherever.
That's not an answer. There will be a push, but, growing the base through economic development, through better job, through all of that is the way that you advance everybody in our state. And those are the ways that I think we should focus. And we have focused on it. We've revamped our total economic development incentives package to instead of a borrow and incentivize to a you come here and you do what you're supposed to do and we'll give you a little bit back until you recoup some of your costs. That is a very, very sustainable system compared to what we used to have.
Well, what you used to have, because you had to do it that way, I assume, is at least show that it was going to work and build your street cred up with these potential suitors who would come to Alabama and put their big, billion-dollar manufacturing facility in. You had to at least show that this was something that was possible here. And I get it, like Mercedes-Benz and, whatever else, but now we're kind of in a different era of the economic development.
It's a much more conservative approach, and thank God for Mercedes-Benz and everything that's happened since then. So that has been a good thing for our state. We produce a lot of automobiles now, produce a lot of military items, so... Things are moving in the right direction. We just need to be conservative in our budgeting and keep it there.
I'm joined by State Senator Clyde Chambliss is here on the program. He represents Prattville, Autauga County. Senator, your bill, the app child protection legislation, I watched a little bit of the floor discussions about it. You've been hammering this for quite some time now, but walk us through what we need to know here.
Well, the big point of this bill is if you go into a convenience store and you see material there, we have a barrier there. Law requires that barrier. We're trying to put that barrier on the digital side as well. And primarily because when you click on, you download an app or whatever, and you click on those terms of service, we are having children entering into an agreement with big companies.
Yes.
That is not the way that we need to do things around here. It needs to be the guardian, the parent, that sort of thing. So this bill, in a large way, that is the focus, is the parents enter into contracts, not minors.
Gotcha. And so how does this work? How does it implement it? How do you get this? Because it's law that the tech companies will now have a different approach to these apps or whatever, but how do you enforce it, et cetera?
Yeah, there will be an age verification process when the phone is, initialized for a child, and the parent will have, it will link that phone to the parent or guardian's phone. And when that child wants to download an app, the parent has to say, okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So then the parent is the one entering into the contract, not the child.
And this is, it seems tricky, but I guess, is it done like this in other places?
It's moving toward this in other places. There's, I think, 3 or 4 states that have passed it. As you can imagine, it's being litigated.
Right.
So we are taking some of those thoughts through the litigation process and trying to make sure that we address those in our bill. And hopefully we won't have litigation when we get through it, but we'll see.
Well, you had a lot of pushback on this too, though, right? I assume some of these tech companies were like, it's not so much that they're like, yay, have children enter into contracts with us, but that this is going to add an extra layer of work for our app or whatever.
Our children are worth it. There has been a fair amount of pushback. I think we're in a pretty good place now. We're trying to work on making the bill better. I think all the parties are, we had a big meeting yesterday and sat down and tried to work through that. So we've taken all that input and we're working through some of that now. I believe we'll take some of that, hopefully, and then some of it that we don't think is helpful to the bill.
Well, beyond that, protections on these apps, are just in general, these smartphone devices, tablets, whatever, sounds like there's probably more things that need to be done to protect children with regards to those.
Oh, absolutely. There's another bill or two in the process. I think we'll have another bill, Matt Simpson's bill. Y'all may have talked about that, but I think we'll have it on the bill on the floor. Hopefully both of these bills tomorrow. So we'll see. What we're dealing with now is just different than when I was growing up. The digital age, there's a lot more accessibility. And will we stop or catch every issue? No, but that don't mean we don't try and do everything we can. And this is a step in that direction.
Well, do you feel like sometimes it's just like whack-a-mole because technology is accelerating, it's moving at such a speed, legislature does not move at a fast speed.
That's true.
And so it's, you guys have to be responsive to a lot of different things, and it just takes time to especially, how familiar these chambers are with these apps or not, and the dangers that they pose potentially, and educating them. And then by the time you get that, you get the ball rolling, it may take a year or two.
Well, we have a diverse legislature on any issue, but say this issue, we may have people in this legislature that actually develop apps all the way up to members of this legislature who've never opened an app and everybody in between. So that takes a while for all of us to understand and know what we're dealing with because I'm not a tech guy.
Right.
Most of us up here are not tech guys. So we have to learn through that, and it just takes time to go through those processes.
It's just, like I said, things are moving. Who knows what, what you have said 5 years ago or 10 years ago that you would be talking about terms of service agreements on a random app and having to keep children from just hitting agree or whatever. And who knows what's in the, adults don't read that either. So who knows what's in that though?
Yeah. But it's on the parent at that point.
Yeah. Well, which is the way it should be. Yeah.
Exactly.
Senator, we're out of time here, but we always appreciate you coming by. Let's do it again soon.
It always goes by so fast. appreciate you having me today.
State Senator Clyde Chambliss here with us. Well, you got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.